with English podcasts.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Sue.
So, how was your weekend?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Did you watch a little rugby?
I did.
Yeah. Just a little.
Just a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, tell us for the top 14.
Okay, so the three matches in the top 14. There was Agen, who played Clermont, and they lost 16-52. But Agen are at the bottom. They've only got 2 points. The other match was a surprising match. It was Toulon against Bayonne.
Okay, and why was it surprising?
Because Bayonne beat Toulon in Toulon. Bayonne are second from bottom.
Oh, wow. That is a surprise. So what on earth happened?
Well, they just played better and they won. Then there was...
Can you remind me of the score that you said there?
Yeah, it was 14-16.
Oh, right. So pretty close.
In Toulon.
Yeah.
It was close, yeah. And then there was a bit of a thing where... Because on the TV, it looked like Patrice Collazo just walked off. He's a trainer and didn't speak to it. But in fact, he was off to do something else, apparently. But anyway, it looked he was totally not impressed.
Okay.
And the best match of the weekend.
Yes, tell me. Was it to do with Toulouse?
It was.
Oh, let me guess that. Yeah, okay.
It was a very good match.
Yeah.
It was against La Rochelle, in La Rochelle.
Yeah.
La Rochelle haven't lost for 2 years at home.
So to anybody?
To anybody.
Wow.
2 years they've not lost in La Rochelle, huh? And Toulouse beat them 14-11. It was a brilliant match.
Wow.
Toulouse finally won. There was only one try in the match. That was from Johan Huger, who scored a fabulous try. A very good match. And La Rochelle were top. They just pipped Toulouse. This was what they call the journée de rattrapage. It was one of the matches which had been cancelled due to COVID, etc. Taking into account that a lot of Toulouse first team players, if you can call them that, are playing for France.
Yes, of course, and they're out.
Mm-hmm. They're out, yeah. Mm. And also there was a few of La Rochelle players as well. Aldrit, Brice Doulin and company. But Toulouse won it and Toulouse go back on top.
I'm pleased to hear that. I can't believe, though, that a team didn't lose for 2 years at home.
Yeah.
Is that some kind of record?
It's probably, for them it is, yeah.
Yeah.
So Toulouse are at the top of the table now with 61 points, followed closely by La Rochelle with 59. Racing are behind them with 58. Clermont have got 55 in fourth place, and fifth place is UBB, Bordeaux-Bègles. Toulon are 48. Now, I think these are the top six, because behind them we've got Lyon with 43. Okay, it can change a little bit, but if you look at the matches that are coming up this next weekend, it could be, I think the top two or three will stay the same. But an interesting thing is happening at the bottom as well, because, okay, Bayern, Agen are going to go down. Bayern are 13th, but they've got 30 points. The 12th position is by Pau with 31 points, and then Montpellier with 32.
So you're saying it's pretty close at the bottom?
That's very close.
Yeah.
I mean, they just need one match with a bonus or a couple of wins, and they can climb right up out of the danger zone, because this is a danger zone.
Mm-hmm.
But if we look ahead to this next week coming up, there's Montpellier, who are 11th, are playing Clermont, who are 4th. Clermont have been winning very well recently. Montpellier have, had a bad run for quite a while. They did win against Agen.
Okay.
In mm-hmm. Agen, which would have been expected anyway. But it wasn't very convincing. Toulouse are playing at home to Brive, who are 9th. Now, this normally would be what you would say is cut and dried, but Brive have been playing very well recently, and they've ground out some really, really good results. Then we've got Castres against La Rochelle. Now, we should say that Castres will probably lose this, because it's La Rochelle, a very, very strong team. But you can never, write off Castres. They can do things, and they've got a very, very good team and very good spirit in their team. Bayonne are going to be playing Lyon at home. If Bayonne win that game, which will be difficult for them, but if they win that game, they could move up past Montpellier and Pau, well out of the danger zone. And we've got Paris against Agen. Well, we don't hold much hope for Agen. Paris are pretty much on top of the game.
Yeah.
Paris, who are 12th, in fact. Oh, no, they're not 12th, sorry. Paris are... Yeah, Paris are 12th. They can't be 12th, because Pau are 12th. Paris are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7... Paris are 8th, sorry, 8th. Pau is 12th. And then we've got UBB playing Pau. UBB very much on form. They should beat Pau. Pau in 12th, they could stay there, and this could... You know, totally change the bottom.
And all these matches are going ahead. There's no COVID problems.
They're going ahead. And we've got Toulon Racing. Racing should beat Toulon as well. Mm. Racing are third, Toulon are sixth. That will change a little bit the complexion at the top. It depends what happens at the very top. But I think the bottom will change. So that's the top 14.
Well, it sounds pretty full and exciting.
It was a good weekend of matches, even though they were catch-up matches.
Yeah.
But I mean, very impressed with the Toulon, the La Rochelle Toulouse match. You know, obviously, I'm always for Toulouse.
And there were some good young players in the Toulouse side. Yeah.
And in the La Rochelle team as well.
Good to see.
But it was a very, very good match because it was so fast. It was like action, and Toulouse clinched it at the end. It looked like they were probably going to go down, but they didn't. They hung in there. Going on to the Six Nations.
Yes, now, anything to talk about?
Probably lots to talk about.
Yeah.
Well, Italy went down to Ireland 10-48 in Italy.
Well, that's okay, right? We can start Olympia. We can move on from that one.
And Wales beat England 40-24.
Now then, I have to remind everybody, who was the one person who said that Wales would possibly win that match? I'm going to put my hand up. That was me. I said that.
It was.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what's your analysis of the game?
Well, I mean, you know, everybody will talk about the very poor decisions of Pascal Gauzère, the referee, who gave two very dodgy tries. And in fact, everybody just looked at it. OK, you can say we've got the luxury of looking at it with, hindsight, etc. But he had video referee.
Exactly.
The video referee was probably just as bad as
he's probably
Gauzère.
He was also asleep on the job,
It really looked like Wales had signed the 16th and the 17th player. I mean, the one try... well, there were two tries, but one of them... England really suffered from indiscipline, okay? They gave too many penalties away, and they weren't very smart about it as well. They knew that Gauzère had a few players earmarked, and, Itoji,
What do you mean by that earmarked? What do you mean?
They kept on making mistakes.
Yes, they did.
They kept on losing their discipline. They were offside. They were, trying to get the ball on the ground. They were doing all sorts of things. And they did it right in front of his eyes. Now, some people can get away with it, but that's when they've not been sort of recognised by the referee. So they were actually a bit stupid to try to do these things because they gave penalty after penalty after penalty.
So are you saying then that the referee had already kind of, I'm not going to say made his mind up, but he's certainly got some players in his sight?
No, not really. But I mean, if a player... causes infringements and the referee's seen it, he's going to keep looking out for it. You know, whether it's in the scrum, on the ground or whatever, if it's offside, he's going to look out for it. You know, they make themselves sort of a target, if you like. They've got a target on their back. And Itoji, I think he gave five penalties away.
From the beginning.
He's a good player, but I mean, I would say the whole of the England team. But anyway, going back to this try wasn't a try. England were caught doing some penalties. So, Gauzère asked Owen Farrell to go and speak to his men. You know, stop, cut out the penalty count and have a word with them. So they all were huddled round each other. In the meantime, they were having a chat and he was telling them what was going on.
Yeah.
And Gauzère gave the go-ahead for the Welsh guy to kick the ball off. There was no England... I think there was one defender that came across and it was George Ford, number 10.
Yeah.
And obviously he wasn't going to get there right from the other side of the post. Yeah. So that was one. The other one was a clear knock-on. Even the player that scored the try knew it was a knock-on.
Yes, yes.
And he was like saying, oh, damn, or he said more than that. But he was, you know, quite frustrated that he'd knocked it on.
That's right.
And Gozer gave it.
I know. And on social media, it was really nice to see that young guy's face, like, really? It's been awarded?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And everybody said it, you know, all referees, everybody. And even Gozer came out yesterday and said that both of those tries were too dodgy for words.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's by and by. And if we take it mathematically, if you take 14 points off of Wales, that still leaves them at 26. Okay, we can argue that it could change the complexion of the game, you know, the motivation can be up and whatever. But the fact of the matter is, if you make as many mistakes as England do in a top-class test match, then you're not going to win.
Yeah.
So England have got things to do.
Yeah.
I would imagine, I've not looked too much at social media, but I imagine a lot of people are asking for Eddie Jones' head.
That's right.
Have you seen this?
Yeah, I have. Isn't there an expression going around saying, taxi Eddie or something?
Okay.
Like, to get him out, here's your taxi.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty simplistic, you know. It's the whole team. It's not only the trainer.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, who's going to take his place?
That's, of course,
you know, it's,
yeah. But I heard something about, because there's no crowd at the moment, you can hear what the players are saying to each other. And it's only what I've read anyway, and they said that when the English team were making some mistakes and the penalties were given, there was nobody like really criticising each other or being hard on each other. They're saying, oh, well, never mind. I mean, have you heard this?
No.
Oh, it was, whereas apparently with the Welsh team, the captain, when someone makes a mistake, he glares them out.
Mm.
But apparently, this is what I read on social media, that with the English team, they're just, you know, tapping each other on the shoulder, saying, oh, well, better luck next time. Perhaps they're not very
hard
on each other, or they're not very disciplined.
I think it's a combination of things. I think they've lost confidence in themselves.
Mm.
They're not playing too well as a team. The players that were sort of coming out as star players, Johnny May, etc., doesn't seem to be doing much at the moment. Okay, he is, you know, they're picking him out. You know, the defence of the other team are picking him out. Obviously, they know what he's capable of. But it just seems that England did kick less this weekend, but they just didn't seem to get through. And the problem was that every time they got through, they gave penalties away.
Yeah.
You know, they were offside or they were doing something else. And you just can't do that. You know, it's like Sunday League rugby. They just can't do that. And, you know, I think they need to write off this year's Six Nations. I don't think they're going to do anything.
You mean England need to write
it? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I thought you meant the tournament.
Come back and they'll try to beat France. But if you look at France as well, who are historically quite an ill-disciplined team, I don't think they're that ill-disciplined as England. In fact, even the Italians are not as ill-disciplined as England. If they don't sort it out, they're going nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to have to sort it out. But anyway, so that was the weekend.
So, but of course, you didn't mention the match that was in fact cancelled. France.
We spoke about that last
time. Yeah, but it was completely off, and so many players with COVID, and the manager.
Well, they had a big independent inquiry by the, believe it or not, the highly independent French Rugby Federation.
Oh, yeah.
So yes. You know, if they find who it is, then nothing will happen. Because really, strictly speaking, if it turns out to be Fabien Galthié. It's what they call a faute grave, and he should resign or be sacked. This won't happen because he's probably one of the best trainers they've had for a while. Or at least, you know, the results say this. But, you know, maybe it should have been World Rugby looked at it rather than the French Federation. But we'll see what happens there. However, our next matches...
Okay, let's go for it.
Are not this Saturday.
No.
No, the next matches are on the 13th of March.
Yeah.
And in this, we will see Italy against Wales, normally, Scotland against Ireland, and we could see England against France.
Let's hope so.
Now, who's on for the Grand Slam this year at the moment? It's Wales.
Yes.
They are. Unbelievably. I mean, they've had some scrappy results and all the rest of it. They didn't look particularly good. But the thing is, they look good against England because they held the composure and England didn't. England will be playing France, possibly, if France come out of COVID or whatever. Who would you say was going to win that then?
Oh, goodness me. Well,
let's talk about it next week. We'll be nearer then. We'll go over the top 14.
Yes. Okay. We'll do that next time. Okay. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you. You've been listening to the Rugby Top 14 Washer with English Podcasts. Join us at englishpodcast.com, english-podcasts.com. See you soon.